There are so many things that I could include in the Vicar's Report, and I've looked back over things I've focused on in past years. But I also am aware that there's so little time, and I'm aware that an update on the Building Mission Project is important. So for other things that have been going on in the life of the church, then read my report, read all the reports. Do use these to inform your prayers about all the things that are going on in the life of the church. But I want to talk about the building project for a while. And I want to say up front that I bring bad news and good news. So that's like a normal gospel presentation, isn't it? You need to know the bad news first before you get the good news. But there is bad news and there is also good news. But I want to couch it in the context of reminding ourselves who we are. That we talk about adventure. We talk about being this family together, this community of disciples on an adventure together, the adventure of endeavouring to become more like Jesus. I was listening recently to Paul Harcourt, who's the national head of New Wine, when he was speaking at the regional conference that I was organising. And he talked about the difference between being in a pool and being in a river. And being in a pool can be nice and comfortable and still, but also it can end up getting stagnant. Being in a river can be a little bit hairy, a little bit scary, but it implies movement and it implies adventure and it's more fun. And change is exciting. It's also hairy. Change is stretching, but also exhilarating. And we remind ourselves again and again, why do we exist? We exist to go deeper in our devotion to God, to go closer in our connections with one another, and to go further on our front lines with the good news of Jesus Christ. And I do believe that growth needs to be and is at the core of all we are. Growth in our relationship with God, growth in our relationships with one another, growth in our relationship with the community. And the CTK 2020 project is about all of those. Occasionally, I do hear of people who kind of don't think we should be trying to invest in this building. And it's normally in the context of thinking, well, we should be thinking more towards those on the outside. And I just want to emphasise again this evening, as before we talk about some of the practicalities, that actually that's what the project is all about. It's never been about trying to build a bigger temple for ourselves. It's all about trying to improve the tool that is this building, for which we're very grateful of what we've had in the past, to make it more suitable for us to move forward in our ministries. I just want to go back to 2014 and remind ourselves about the survey that went around the church at the time that said, we need a second big space. We need a space that is bigger than room sixes. In addition to what we have here for the ministries. We need a kitchen that's fit for purpose. We need office space for the staff to work in. And we need things like more toilets. But we also need a decent welcome and hospitality area so that we could say, come on in, come on in. Yes, that will serve us, but who else is it going to serve? Well, it's going to serve older, vulnerable people in our community, you know, for whom and Friendship Club on a Tuesday afternoon. Room 6 is like, how many elderly people can you get into a phone box, it feels like sometimes at times. You know, it's not ideal. It's wonderful that so many want to come. And actually, you know, the kitchen, likewise, so that we can serve them when we do Luncheon Club monthly, so that we can actually feed them appropriately. Younger people who need Jesus. You know, the rooms that we've got here are really not suitable for the kind of outreachy kind of youth club that will actually engage with the teens of this community beyond our own. We want it to be for struggling, isolated people so that we can put on ministry activities that we currently can't because we don't have enough rooms and there are always diary clashes. We want it to serve community groups who serve other people. The kind of groups that we turn away from making bookings time after time after time because there just aren't enough rooms in this building to do it. We want to do it for the lost people who maybe wander into this building on a Sunday morning because the Lord brings them and then feel a little bit lost and everyone's disappearing over to this corner to have coffee and I'm a bit embarrassed so I'll slip out that way. rather than being able to look after them as they leave the building and give them a cup of coffee over there. All the lost for whom there just isn't kind of enough room in what we're doing. So I kind of just want to underline, it's not indulgently about us. It is about all people. It is about outsiders, if we want to call it that. I mean, I mentioned the kitchen. Joe's best new friend is the health inspector. After we fed 150 to 170 people at the last Messy Church, and she's been great, as you said, but actually kind of saying that kitchen is not good enough for feeding these number of people, and is wanting to help us in terms of how we can prove. I'd said, does that mean grant money? But we'll find out. But in practical ways as well. And if you'd been here last Saturday morning, you'd have seen a lot of people coming through this building having breakfast while teaching was going on in one of the other rooms. If you'd come here on that Saturday afternoon for Messy Church, the place was absolutely heaving. If you come into the office on any work day and hear some of the phone calls that Mandy takes, having to turn people away. If you've been and be a fly on the wall at staff meeting week by week when we're juggling, well, can we do that? What day could we do that? Probably not. Well, maybe it'll have to wait until that other term. Then maybe you get a little bit more of an appreciation. And I particularly just want to remind ourselves before we go any further is about the prophetic words that we've received, about words that say, make space for young people. Make space for young people. That's really resonated with me. And the prophecy that we had 2 years ago. And remember the prophecy that came 5 days after we launched the project to the church, which spoke to us about saying it's time for expansion. It's time for increase. And talked about being faithful. It talked about kicking out walls of this building, expanding not only geography, but expanding influence. Expanding things like school influences and community influences. The connections that we're making with schools have gone up exponentially over the last 12 months, which is really exciting in terms of influences over young people. And also reminding us about the kingdom resources that the Lord is going to bring us. I won't say that again, it's all on the website. And it's worth remembering because it's there in that prophecy that planting is still on the cards. It's still in our thinking that we want to plant a new church community at some point. And I just wonder whether it's in God's mercy that the Hanwood Park development is actually going more slowly than we ever thought. And maybe the rate of the building will suddenly accelerate once we've finished our work here and we're ready to think about that. I don't know. That's me conjecturing. But I want to bring Steve up because I want Steve to join me in talking about the Building Mission Project. I think we definitely need to give Steve a round of applause.
Me?
It's you now, I think. I realised I meant to get you up earlier, and I didn't.
That's all right.
We're just going to talk about how we've got to where we've got to.
Yeah, just a few sort of introductory things. Just first of all, the way this has been set up, obviously this is a PCC project, and you elect a PCC to carry out work on behalf of the congregation, and that's as it should be, so that people don't get tied up, everybody doesn't get tied up with everything. And the PCC has delegated the sort of nitty-gritty day-to-day working out of the building project to the building project group. You know all of that. And they've been working away in the background, and I'm conscious that perhaps we haven't popped up as often as we might have done to keep you up to date with things. But one of the things that we said mustn't happen with this building project right at the start was that it mustn't become the be-all and end-all of what this church is doing. It mustn't become a drain on the church's ongoing growth, the church's ongoing ministry and mission. And it certainly mustn't become a drain and a diversion on the staff or anybody like that. So that's perhaps less communicative than we might have been, but I suspect that that's probably not a bad thing because we haven't allowed ourselves to be distracted as a church by this. But I don't want anybody to feel out of the loop. And if you have been following the PCC minutes, as I'm sure you all do, Yes, of course you do. You'll know that the PCC has spent an inordinate amount of time on the project over the course of the year. So it has been going on, and there has been a lot of work done on it. Let me just put some comments in now as I build up towards where we're going with this. First of all, I think we need to say, as Bob has already said, we need to say a very, very big thank you for the sacrificial giving that has gone into this project. You know, if anybody had said just over a year ago that within a year this congregation could raise the best part of £250,000, would you have believed that? Well, I would have found that quite hard to believe. But in fact, that's what we have done. That's what has happened. And that is amazing. There's been all sorts of ways in which that has been raised. You know about the different fundraising activities that have happened and that are still going on. There's, for example, there's been coffee mornings. There's been people doing things like setting aside what you would have spent on something else. And I think the staff, I'd like you into a secret, the staff did that yesterday. The staff normally go out for a slap-up meal every month. But this month...
You've never been to the Woolcomber, have you, Steve?
Not for years, I have to say. But the staff didn't this month. They took the money that they would have spent on that and have put it aside to the building project. There are loads and loads of little examples like that of people who have made sacrifices towards this. There have been sponsored activities. There are sponsored activities. You know that one of the youngest sponsored activities is she hasn't run yet, has she?
Yeah.
No, but she's going to run. And isn't that wonderful that Rob and Anushka's youngest daughter is actually getting involved in that? And don't forget, over Easter, you can sponsor Jail and Associate Vicar. There's all sorts of things going on. Creative things that have happened.
On that, sales. I've learned that someone is sponsoring her per hour. So I reckon if we don't let her out...
We could be there, home and dry, eh? It's great, and it really is encouraging to have watched that happening. And of course, there have been pledges that people have made way back and have continued to give in a monthly way, and there have been some amazing one-off gifts as well. And the total, as Bob has said, that's in the bank, I'm not going to talk many pounds, shillings and pence here. I'm just talking big figures here. But in the bank, if we had to write a cheque for £344,000, we could against the bill. That's how much we have in the bank. Now, we've projected how that giving might go through. If we take it through, say, to end of 2020, if the current pattern is sustained in terms of people's monthly giving and the odd one-off gifts and so on, we would expect to have reached by the end of 2020, on our current projections, something around £750,000. Now, you might then think, add in another gift day, because wasn't that amazing? £98,000 in and around the gift day. We could do that again. That would maybe take us up to £850,000, £800,000. And that's a pretty amazing amount. But, and I'm afraid this is a bit of the bad news that Rob was talking about there, costs for the project have spiralled. They have shot up. Just after the APCM last year, we felt that it was prudent to get another quantity surveyor's estimate for the project as it stood then. And so in July, we received a second quantity QS estimate for that. And that came in at a staggering £1.7 million. £1.7 million. Now, that's actually a million more than the 0.7 that we project we would have by the end of 2020. And that does exclude VAT and some fees as well. So I think, and that's based on 2018 building figures. Now, all of that, you could therefore roll that in and quite realistically say, well, this project is going to hit £2 million before we're finished. So £2 million is quite a lot of money. Now, that did actually take our breath away, as you might imagine. It caused a measure of anger amongst those of us who knew about it. It caused a measure of uncertainty, confusion, and frustration. But also, when I took it to the PCC, that obviously meant that something had to happen. We had to do something. We're not going to abandon this project because this is God's project and he won't allow us to abandon it. But there were some difficult decisions that we had to make. So over the summer, we looked at the project and we took we made some choices. We asked ourselves, how on earth can we pare this back to get it to be something affordable? And so we looked at things that could be perhaps taken off the immediate project and perhaps shelved for later. For example, we took the gallery out. Now that obviously was something that looked quite nice when we saw it on the fly-through, but actually the immediate need for a gallery, you might argue that that's not an immediate need. So we took that off. And we did say that we need to keep it as a possible future development. And actually, when you think about it, the gallery wouldn't have given us that many more seats. The gallery would accommodate something like 80 more people. But by the time you've taken the space and the seats out at the back for the pillars and the access stairs, it's not actually a net gain of 80 people. It's a much smaller number. But that was one of the things. We also looked at other things that we could change about the design in an attempt to bring the price back down to something reasonable. We decided that we probably didn't need Rob giving a papal blessing, for example, every Easter or at any other time. So we took away the gallery. We modified that. We took the railings off that so that the children we wouldn't allow the children to play out there. So there wouldn't be any railings on that. So we took things like that off. We looked at the quality of the finishes because the costings had been worked out on top-of-the-range fittings, top-of-the-range materials. And we looked at where savings could be made there. We looked at perhaps less ornate roofing, different types of materials. We looked at the scale of the servery area, the coffee and tea area that was planned for the welcome space. And taking all of those off, or changing all of those, we went back to the quantitative surveyor. We actually had a meeting with him where we discussed these things with him and the architect. He then went and recalculated it, but the best he could do was to get it down to 1.3 million, which is still almost double what we project we would have. Just to be certain, we had a control estimate carried out informally by a big building company in Wellingborough, who might actually at some point be interested in tendering for the project. But they looked at it in some length, and one of their representatives met with the building project group. We went through it, and they said, yeah, these figures are right, and they are modest. It's not going to be any less than 1.3, and it's likely to be nearer 1.7, or maybe even 2 million pounds. So there we have it. That's where we are. That obviously caused a lot of soul searching and prayer and listening on the part of the PCC. And we thought about it and we prayed about it for a long time, over two or three meetings, at setting aside specific chunks of time for this, to handle this and to deal with this. And the first thing that we felt that was that we must not give up on the vision. Whatever else we do, the vision is important. The vision must survive, and we must try to find a way to deliver on the vision. But we decided as a PCC that we're not actually totally comfortable with pursuing a project of that scale at that cost. So how do we stick to the vision, and how do we, for example, facilitate growth for the existing ministries? How do we facilitate the space for future ministries? How do we facilitate the space that Rob was talking about? Because after all, we said 5, 6, 7 years ago now that we needed that space. It's actually time to make it happen. And we can't just keep dragging on and dragging on. You know, I heard tell of a church once, that actually had a building project that has lasted for the best part of 20 years. Now, that can't happen. We can't allow that to happen. That would just be such a drain on us. So, as a PCC, we had a very, very useful, no-holds-barred meeting in February, where people spoke what they felt was on their hearts, where we spent time waiting on God, where we spent time praying. And following that, at least two of us had sleepless nights.
Can I just say before you do that, Steve, was one of the things that impressed me about the PCC, your PCC, is that in that meeting, people clearly had different perspectives, but there was really a sense of we're together in this, that we all want the same end result, but we might have had different views of what's the best way to get to that. And it's worth saying that if we'd been presented back at the beginning with a project that was a $2 million project, we would have said no. And that was the bind that we found ourselves in, because we felt it was too much of a stretch to get there. Sorry to interrupt, Steve. Carry on.
It's pinched one of my lines already. But
okay, sorry.
I'll still say it later. Yeah. Right, so at least two of us had sleepless or broken nights that night. Interestingly, it was the same night following that PCC. I found myself drawn towards the parable of the talents, in particular in Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 30. And in verse 14, Jesus tells this parable, and he says, "It will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another he gave 2, and another 1. And this is the bit that stuck out to me. To each according to his ability. Now, as a church growing over the last 50-odd years, we've faced challenges, haven't we? And we've faced challenges that we have risen to in the power of God's Holy Spirit, and we've handled them. I think as a church, we've shown ourselves to be faithful, just as Jesus was talking about in that parable. And I think that CTK 2020, and this is how I was thinking about it that night, that CTK 2020 is actually God doing like the master in the parable was doing. He's giving us more. And because we have been faithful in the last 50 years, God has more for us, but more for us to do as well. And when we were a small group meeting in a rented building, he graciously helped us to learn to trust him for what we needed then. But he always kept our eyes and our hearts open for what we would need for the next step on our journey. And it seemed to me that as I was thinking about the parable there, that CTK 2020 is Father God saying to us that we've reached that point in our story of what he's doing here on the Eyes Lodge and in Kettering. In his opinion, we can take on board his biggest challenge yet. And he wouldn't do that if he didn't think we were up to it. You see, the master in the parable of the talents gave each according to his ability. And I think the CTK 2020 project is Father God's vote of confidence in us, his children. And he certainly doesn't ask us to do things that leave us where we are. The parable goes on when the servant who had 1 talent said, "I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground." He moved forward not at all. But then I think also, and this is where I think we've got to the tonight, he doesn't ask us to do things that are beyond us. He asks us to do things that are according to our ability. And as Rob has just said, if we'd been presented with a £2 million project at the start, we wouldn't have taken it on. We'd have gone back to the drawing board and we'd have looked at our original target. We'd look for something more modest. Because even if we have a target of £1 million, as you can see, that is stretching us. That is pushing us. That is pushing us beyond what I see. I can see how we can meet it. Because as I said before, the best projection that I can come up with gets us to about 850 grand, which is still 150 short. And that's at today's prices. But I think that we should view CTK 2020 as God's 2-talent challenge to us as his church. I think God believes we can do this. But I think he's saying, this is take on a modest project. Yes, it will stretch you. It will test whether you trust me. It will allow you to develop and grow your faith. It will. But make it a 2-talent challenge. And I think in brackets he's saying, look out for the five-talent challenge that I will have for you as a church when I deem it ready, and when I deem the time is right for you. So that's where I got to that night. And I wrote it down and I passed it on to a couple of people to read. But that's where I think we are with the project. I think we need to rein the project in a little bit. We need to keep the vision, keep faithful to the vision. But I think we need to try and make it something that is according to our ability, because I think that's what God is calling us to do. And so for the outcome of the other sleepless night, I'm handing back to Rob.
So while Steve was lying awake, a few hundred yards away, I was also lying awake, hatching something up, not sure if it was me or if it was God, thinking of ways that we could deliver this potentially differently. And then slightly concerned that am I being unfaithful? Am I not showing enough courage? Or am I showing wisdom? Where's the answer? Somewhere between. And then early the next morning when I was thinking I should talk to Steve, Steve sent me what he's just read. And what hit me between the eyes was the two-talent challenge. And I sensed the Lord was saying, maybe you're a two-talent church trying to do a five-talent project. And I don't mean that to put us down, because the master with the two talents, you know, the one with the servant with the two talents, had a big job to do, and he had to take a lot of risks to turn that two talents into another two talents. And he was given then cities to look after afterwards. And I think it just gave me confidence that actually we can stick to the vision, but if we can stick to the vision and deliver it in a more modest way, then we may just be onto something as the next step to heading towards becoming a five-talent community down the line. And so what my nocturnal musings were, and I'm kind of working on the assumption that people in this room are aware of what the plan was, of room 4 and 5 becoming a lot bigger, the kitchen becoming a lot bigger, and then the two-story extension out the front with a very big welcome area, and then more meeting rooms upstairs and office space upstairs. But what we said we needed was we need bigger space. We also need more space, so more spaces. So bigger space, but also more spaces, and then a good welcome space. Those are the three things that are resonating for me. Plus improved kitchen space, office space, storage, toilets, exciting things like that. But also to be ready for bigger worship space. Not necessarily there at the moment, but to be ready for it. And the architect's plan delivers that. And there's lots of really good things about the architect's plan, but it seems unachievable where we're at today unless £1 million suddenly drops in on us. And there is that tension between being called to trust big and be wise and good stewards. I believe very passionately, Steve has already said, it's important that this doesn't drag on. These needs were identified at least 5 years ago, and I think that we need to take the cork out of the bottle. And at that PCC meeting that Steve alluded to, when we prayed together, one of the words we had was to, in essence, put everything we've got back into the middle, to throw it onto the fire, to hold onto it lightly, to surrender our hopes, our aspirations, our plans, but also not waste what has gone before and stay true to the vision. And I was wrestling with, can we make the money work harder? I thought that's going to mean compromise. And we said we want a bigger space, and we've said we want more spaces, but not necessarily at the same time. So I thought, can we do clever things with partitions, with good quality partitions? Everyone says good quality partitions are expensive. Don't think of the ones that are in 4 and 5 at the moment. You know, the kind of things you go to a hotel and those, you know, they're expensive, but of course they're not as expensive as bricks and mortar. We need more rooms, but if we're honest, we never quite quantified how many more rooms we needed. We know we want a welcoming space. We know we want it to be big and warm and welcoming, but how big is big? We know we need a bigger kitchen, but how big is big? We know we need improved storage solutions, but how much? What can we throw away? What else can we store? How clever can we be? Can we make the money work harder in a more modest project? Something that will still be a stretch, because I believe the Lord is still calling us to stretch. He's not going to get us off lightly. One of the things the PCC agreed on was not to say, well, we've got this much money, what can we do with it? Because none of the options delivered on the vision. And so with my kind of architect hat on, which only lasted a few hours, so I believe it was of God, we came up with an idea. You can construct here, can you? And I just should say, we've got a diagram I want to show in a minute, and I need to explain. That was roughly what it was, yeah. That was roughly my thinking. The PCC have seen this. The architect has seen it. And we're waiting on the architect at the moment doing a rework based on this idea and based on the meeting we had with him in which he did... The impressive thing was that we thought the architect might throw his toys out of the pram. His words were, I want you to be able to bring this to completion. So the work he's currently doing for us, he's doing for free, which I think is recognition of how, in one sense, the responsibility of getting us into the situation we have got into. And so it's because it's waiting on him, because it's waiting on the quantity surveyor still, we can't say how much this is going to cost. But based on the costs we've got for the other stuff, I think that, well, I'll say that at the end. I said, remember, we for now, we abandoned the gallery some time ago. So let's have a look, see where we've got to, please, Steve. Yeah. The vision, youth, children, community, welcome, worship, looking after the staff on the back of that envelope. That's our existing footprint. On the original plan, and so the back there is going out, was always going out as with a large flat roof extension. That was the first part of it. What we've done in that is made the kitchen slightly smaller, still twice the size of what we've got at the moment, to allow for more storage at the back, which will become apparent why in a moment. Rooms 4 and 5 are partitioned, as you see. That was always part of the plan, but with more storage off room 4 and 5. We've then increased the footprint of this to actually, in effect, move room 3 outwards, so increase the flat roof extension to allow some office space. Can you put the corridor on there as well, please? Thank you. That needs a corridor through to it and provide more storage space. And then also to put, and have you got the other partition across room 4 in there? A partition maybe just across room 4, possibly across room 5. Original thinking probably just across room 4, so that you've got a 4A and a 4B as well as a room 5. So it generates an extra room by doing that, or two extra rooms. You can see why we're doing this in a moment in terms of modifying the stuff at the back, which is the cheaper stuff. And by putting that corridor in, it gives access to the back part of room 5. In case you're wondering about light in the front bit of room 4, it would be with a flat roof with ceiling windows, ceiling lights. Yeah, and then to partition room 6. Again, that there are times when it needs to be the size it is. There are times when it's used, but actually it doesn't need to be the size it is at all. So again, creates extra rooms by doing that. One aspiration, to be fair, is also to extend room 6 out, but at the moment I'm holding off on that because obviously we're trying to save money here rather than add some money, because it might be that we could end up with two good-sized rooms if we extended room 6 out along to the line of the kitchen. But we're going to see what comes back in terms of costs. You've still got two decent-sized rooms there, certainly good enough for the children's groups on a Sunday morning.
Yeah, we'd push those walls out as far as we could, but rooms 4 and 5 will still be the same size that they were on the original, on the drawings that we've all seen and loved.
Which is more than twice the size they currently are. It's about an extra 60 or 70% or something. Where the big difference is, and this is where the cost savings come, is actually we abandon putting a second story on. We stick within the existing footprint of the front and turn what is currently the lobby plus Eleanor's hotel room plus the office and room 1 becomes our welcome area. Not quite as big as the one on the original plan, but I think still a decent size in terms of what it can do. And the reason that becomes so much more affordable is because we're not pushing the walls out. We're pushing the walls out there still, so we're staying true to the prophecy. We're pushing the walls out, but with quite a nice kind of L-shaped, which would have give us the opportunity, of course, to put the entrance at the southwest corner, i.e. that one, i.e. make it visible from the road, which is something we've always talked about as well. What needs to then still happen is that the next bit, Steve. Somewhere, can you do the next bit as well? We need to have the coffee servery and the office, Mandy's office. We're not quite sure whether that will be the other way round, or we're waiting on the architect's advice and for exactly how that might work. But something of that kind of ilk. And then the rest of that corridor becomes all toilets. And the other thing about the welcome area is I'm assured by people that actually there's nothing architectural above, there's no rafters and stuff in the roof area out in the welcome area. So actually, if we want to open it out, we could potentially raise the ceiling completely with a pitched roof and put ceiling lights in it, put ceiling windows in it. So it'd actually make it an open, welcome kind of space. Where work still needs to be done is on storage. Obviously, that loses all of room one storage, which is why everything orange there is storage. Some of it is current, so a lot of it is new. So all the stuff for room four and five, all along the wall of room four and five is storage. Big storage area at the back of the kitchen, which was the thinking there. Storage, there's current storage between room four and room three, but that gets extended out apart from corridor space, which is missing there. So we need to do some proper work. How much do we need? I've volunteered for Future Generations behind the vicarage garage. There's a dead space that, seriously, we could stick a great big shed, or, to please Andy Stillwell, a container, because he loves containers, for stuff that only gets used every 6 months, every year. Yeah, why not? If we tried to stick it out there, we might have planning permission, but you can stick it behind there without any problems, I would have thought. And it's so more work does need to be done now, I appreciate that. It still allows for slightly increased capacity in the worship area, because by moving all of our welcome out into a proper welcome area, you can actually fit more chairs at the back. By serving coffee and tea out there, you can actually create more space here as well, although it might be nice for it to be space for prayer. And actually, it still leaves space for the future Five Talent Challenge. If down the line the Lord is causing us to make this worship area bigger, to put a gallery in, it can still be done. To push those walls out, it could still be done. And someone made an interesting point recently, actually, about where the growth might be coming from. Where's the growth come from in our church recently? It's messy church, it's mishmash, it's the midweek communion. I mean, midweek communion is running out of space, actually. Yeah, we have about 35, 36 people squeezed into there, and we could do with a bigger space for that as well. I'd just like to believe that that might come in under a million, because the back was around about half a million, wasn't it, originally?
Yeah, the original, doing the rooms four and five and the kitchen, we did look at phasing the project, and we got they split it into three different sections. The back area there, rooms four or five, would have come in around, I don't know, 400,000 or 500,000, 600,000. So I can't for the life of me think that doing no groundwork out there but doing some internal modifications would be anything like the big sum that we've been scared with early on. So that's our hope. The architect has said that he will attempt to get something back to us by the end of April in terms of a drawing, but it's very important also that we have it properly quantity survey estimated as well before we get ourselves too excited. But I think there is a lot of merit in looking at how we might move the project forward by still meeting our vision, but doing it in perhaps a more modest way, but leaving room for the future, because the church isn't going to stop growing. It's true that it's not actually growing in the way that I might have predicted a few years ago. The numbers are growing, but not necessarily on a Sunday morning. The number of people that were here for Messy Church, 170, did they say? We had 96 at the last mishmash. That's where the growth's taking place, folks, and that is important that we address that and accommodate that. I think that's what God is trying to nudge us and say to us.
I'm aware that we do want to open up for questions for those who want to, but I just need to acknowledge that this comes out of the blue for most of you. It will come as a shock to many. I recognise that some might feel cheated. You see, I've been giving money to something that's much bigger. That's what I got excited about. and now you're telling me that you're wanting to do something smaller. Whereas I think there might be others who are suddenly more excited about this because you feel this is more proportionate, more modest. You feel maybe that, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, obviously, but there may be some people here in this room who haven't been giving because you don't feel convinced that you want to, and yet maybe you're more excited by something that feels more achievable, or we can get closer. We haven't talked about grant money yet, which may start to become possible if we're getting closer to our target. Recognise it needs some more detailed thought, and that's why we've got the PCC, that's why we've got the Building Project Group. We recognise that if this is going to fly, we probably need to up the tempo of how we communicate and how we move forward. And we will commit to, once we've got something back from the architect, we will commit to putting a couple of workshop dates in so that people can have a more detailed conversation about it. But I do encourage us all to up the prayer level, to look for grants, to think about fundraising, to think about how you might want to give. Because I think that this, I have faith that this is stretching, but achievable if we can get excited about it.